who do not get our get the voicemail, the phone chain. This was a week that the church called out new leadership, and in the process of discernment, Galen Byler and his wife Marcy were called to the leadership team, the pastoral associate pastor. So we wish you and your family all the favor of the Lord, the grace of God, and we're glad to have God show up so clearly. So that's been a real blessing. And I just want to commend the congregation for your participation and for your prayers during this process. These week's events were very important, very significant in congregational life, these types of things. And it's a beautiful experience to see the body of Christ at work together. And it's a very important part of our present experience, as well as for the future of this congregation. So praise the Lord for his Spirit being so involved in us. It's not a work of man, it's a work of God. And we bless God. Why don't we stand together, greet each other around us, and bless the dads that you shake hands with. Take time to do our morning offering at this time, if the ushers would be prepared for that. Our offering this morning is for the Benevolence Fund. The Benevolence Fund is there for the care of needs within the congregation, and we praise God for a body that has shared liberally in that way. So let's ask God to bless this offering. Father in heaven, you who load us with benefits, and part of those benefits are the privilege of working and laboring and having return on our investments and for our work. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ here and the privilege to give to the needs that come up from time to time. Lord, you know all the needs, spoken and unspoken, those known and unknown, and we just present them all to you. And there may be those here this morning that are wrestling with things in their life, physically or financially, and we just bring them before your throne. I pray that as these funds are given, they would help to encourage and bless and increase faith in the lives of those who are affected and recipients of this. Thank you for the giver, all the givers, and the heart behind it. In Jesus' name, amen. We have an anniversary today, right? On the date. And Dalen escaped. Where is he at? Here he is. We have Dalen and Marletta, who have their, let me see, this is their seventh anniversary. And And we have, this week is also Mark and Starla's anniversary, their 25th anniversary. And so I know they had a bit of a celebration here a couple of weeks ago. Some of us were not able to be there. Many of you were. And so what I'd like to do is we like to sing happy anniversary to both of these couples at the same time. So I'd say everybody, Dalen is right here in the middle, Dalen and Marletta right here. Everybody on this side of the church sing to Dalen and Marletta, and everybody on this side sing to Mark and Starla. Happy anniversary. All right, can we do that? And we hope you'll be blessed. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Dalen and Marletta. Happy anniversary to you. Wish you a lot of marital bliss, both of you couples. And there's a birthday, little Zoe Martin. She's 2 years old today. Is she here today? Zoe here? No. Zoe Grace? Not here today. Shannon and Lisa's daughter. Okay. Sam Gerich is almost close enough to sing for, but we're not going to sing for him today. All right. A couple announcements. Just a reminder that the assessment of unity papers, Mark would urge all of us to have those in his mailbox today. The assessment of unity papers. Just check the bulletin there for the announcements, future events. I think that's all the announcements I have. Are there any announcements from the floor? We have open mic. James Beachy would like to have a mic over here. Over here on the to my left, James Beachy, get a mic to him. Anyone else have an announcement? Just raise your hand. A mic back there to Lil in the back then, right after James.
I've been letting you know about the Teen Haven Day Camp that's happening this summer. For those of you that were interested in giving towards that, you can do that through the church and just earmark it, Teen Haven Day Camp. So if you're interested in giving towards sponsoring a child to go for a week or however many weeks they choose to go to day camp, you can do that. Mark it, Teen Haven Day Camp. I posted a paper on the Life and Bridge board back here, on the Life Club board, where you can read the details about it. To all of you who were staffed this past year, I'm going to try to have a meeting, a quick meeting, with you guys right after church. We'll go out here. Let's just go to the youth room so it's big enough. I know it may be a little inconvenient on Father's Day. I'm not really sure what else to do because I know I want to talk to all of you at one time. I've tried sending the phone chain through. But I want to talk to everybody, and those of you that are going to register kids, I want to give you the papers so you can do that and answer any questions that you have really quickly. We do need to facilitate it quickly. That's why I want to do it, because it's going to fill up, or I'm afraid that it will fill up, and it's first come, first serve, so I want to really get on it this next week to register the kids. So if you were a part of Life Club or Bridge and you're here this morning, please come to the youth room right after the service, and I'm going to try to do it in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, James and Carla, for all the leadership you bring to Life Clubs and all the energy, excitement, vision, passion. It is just a wonderful, wonderful thing in your lives. Lil, in the back.
For those of you who had three-year-olds in the three-year-old Sunday school classroom this morning, if you could please go back into the classroom and get their project after church. Thank you very much.
Announcement up here with Starla.
I've been thinking about this the last couple weeks, and I just want to bless the ladies here at church. There's been so many times recently that we've needed help with food or baking or just assistance at the Brenneman household, just different things. And I've just been really blessed in the way that you ladies have stepped up, have helped. And I just want to thank you for that. I pray the Lord blesses you in turn for that.
As fathers, let's give our ladies a hand. Everybody give the ladies a hand. Any other announcements? Hands up. I think the youth are headed to Camp Anders this afternoon, right? For a couple of days of serving there. So we'll keep them in our prayers as well. Our worship time this morning is going to be led by Ben and Becky and Kenny and Irvina. And I would ask you to stay seated because Ben and Becky are going to share just a little bit about their time in Thailand when they're up here. So let's bow before the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we call on your wonderful name, you who is such a perfect role model for all of us. May you teach us as dads and fathers to lead well, knowing how to balance being decisive but being compassionate, how to be strong and yet tender, how to lead our families and lead our places of assignment and our charges with honor, with care. Thank you for this congregation. Lord, I call you to our service this morning. I ask that you'd be lifted up, you'd be glorified, you'd be honored in everything, Lord. It's not about any person or a program. It's not about an agenda. It's about you, and it's about all that you have for us as people on earth to fill out our purpose. Lord, this morning I think of the aged among us, the convalescent, those who are suffering loss of spouses over the past year or two. Lord, I just bring them to you this morning, and their memories are probably flooded in many ways. I think of Dan Minnick today, and I lift him before your throne. I pray for your work to continue in his life, for grace and just the willingness to cooperate with you in every way, that you would bless him and Arlene in their challenges. I pray for John Brenneman and the loss he had this past week, and we just ask for continued grace on his life. And Lord, are those who are widowed among us, and we just bring them before your throne for all their needs. Father, those that are represented by this church in missions across the world and across the United States, I bring them before your throne of grace and strength for today. I think of Alicia Esch down South Carolina and the challenges she faces, Lord, in larger life to take it all in. Eunice Lapp in Canada, the Gawkinars in New York, and those in short-term ministry, and I think of the life clubs and the impact they're having on kids in the city and even on their own lives as they share and minister. Lord, just for continued growth and the advancement of your kingdom. I pray for the youth as they head to Camp Anders this afternoon. It would just be a great time of interacting and being a blessing and of growing together in many ways. We present this meeting to you, Lord Jesus, the meeting of our congregation, the celebration of our Jesus, as we worship together in song. Lord, may it be a gateway where our hearts could just be strengthened and connected to you again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
So Becky's just going to share real quickly a little bit of a couple-minute update of what happened in our time in Thailand real quickly.
Thank you so much for all of you that were praying for me and for Ben when we were in Thailand. My time in Thailand was pretty life-changing, and I love just being able to spend time in the country again and see a lot of my friends. But one of the greatest things I think was just being able to share with these two young girls that came to the class. There were two students. The one had been a Christian for about a year before I got there, and the second one had just become a Christian about a week before I got there. So the faith, just faith in God, all of everything that we were talking about was just totally brand new to them. They were, they're really still baby Christians and just learning and growing and trying to understand everything. And one evening, Ben and I went out to a little restaurant for some supper, and it was kind of in like a plaza with a lot of different restaurants in one place. And we noticed that in the corner of the property, there was a huge statue to Buddha, and then a lot of like incense and As we were sitting there, I noticed that owners of the restaurants would come over and just bow down to the statue and put their offerings up on the, on the little ledge in front of the statue. And I just felt so sad because I was just thinking about how there are so many people in this country who are trapped in this belief that I have to offer merit to gain favor from this Buddha, from their leader. And one of the most amazing things in this class was just being able to share with these two girls that it's his grace that covers our sin. This is the only religion that you don't have to work to gain the merit of our leader, our God. He's already offered his grace. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, and our worship is accepted with him. I think that was just like so exciting to share with them that even though we're all sinners, we need God, we're depraved, we're all sinners, our worship can be accepted by him. So pray for those two girls. Their names are Newt and Nan. And Nan is, she doesn't want to stay after the training is over. She wants to go back and work in the bars again. And so please pray that God would just work in her heart, and hopefully she'll just grow in Christ. And as she learns more, that she hopefully won't want to go back and work where she was working before in prostitution, but that she would want to leave that and find another job. So thanks so much to all of you who prayed for us. I really appreciate it.
Okay, why don't we all stand for our time of worship? First song we're going to sing is "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood," and let's all sing verse 1 in unison, and then on verse 2 you can break into whatever part makes you happy to sing. So unison, and "There is a fountain filled with blood."
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away, washed all my sins away. went in the grave. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. And in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Despair like the sea waves roll. merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that the Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way.
Today's Father's Day, and Ben had asked my wife and I to pick a couple songs for this morning, and this song kept coming to my mind throughout the week. The title is Lead Me, and I've found just throughout my life, if I'm ready to share my testimony with somebody, that has a big impact on people. If we're willing to share where we're at, you know, and what God is doing for us at a certain time. And this is something that God has been working on me in, and that's leading my family and my wife. And everybody has different situations, you know, that God sends our way. Some people have harder things to go through than others, but we all have our things that we deal with from day to day. And 12 weeks ago, a lot of you already know, we had to bury our little son, and we don't have him here this morning, but we have sent him into the kingdom, and we have made God's kingdom bigger by sending him on. And there's a lot of other people in this church that have dealt with a lot of the same things. Ben and Becky standing here behind me, they have felt the same thing type of pain that we have through loss. And there's just a lot of those things in this church. But no matter what the circumstance, what we're going through, we are still called as men and as fathers to lead our wife. And that's something I'm the first to say this morning, that there's been times that I haven't known how to lead my wife through this. And it takes an understanding that God doesn't call us to do it on our own. He leads us so that we can lead them. So let's hope I can make it through the song.
Around and see my wonderful life, almost perfect from the outside. In picture frames I see my beautiful wife, always smiling, but on the inside I can hear her saying, lead me with strong hands, stand up when I can't, don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams. What about us? Show me you're willing to fight and give still the love of your life. I know we call this a home, but I still feel myself, they'll be fine, they're independent, but on the inside I can hear them saying, lead me with strong hands, stand up when I can't, don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams. What about us? Show
fathers, leaders, wherever you put us, God, that you've called us to a place, and you promised, I think, to give us grace, Lord. Give us grace and strength to be able to lead and do what we need to do. I know being a father is probably not always glamorous and doesn't always feel as good as Father's Day. But give each father here strength, Lord. Bless them for the efforts that they give forth, God, that they give of themselves. Thank you for each one of our fathers. Lord, bless Doug as he brings a message to us. I pray that you'd let truth come from his lips, Lord, and give us each hearts to hear your truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Kenny and Irvina and Ben and Becky, for that time of drawing us to the heart of the Father. Well, it's Father's Day, and I want to be up front that I realize today is a hard day for some, like Kenny was talking about, and for Daryl and Rosie and for others as well, to have little ones that have gone on, that are in heaven, and we rejoice at that fact, but long to have them, to hold them. And for others who have children who have gone on this year, think of my dad. And this year is different. And I'm blessed to have my niece here, Ashlyn. Thanks for being here. I just want to pray for all you of dads who have lost this year, whether it's an unborn child or a son or a daughter. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you and we lift up these families to you. We thank you for your grace that sustains us through hard times of life. And Lord, for each of these, it's a different situation that you've called a child home. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we can be together in heaven. Be together and never part again. So Lord, I just pray you'd minister to these families, to their needs. Thank you for the body of Christ that surrounds, for the hands and the arms that are lifted up. May you be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, fathers, I don't know how many of you woke up this morning and received a gift. But on Thursday, I received a gift. For those of you who don't know, our son had their second child on Thursday, and I have a picture that I was going to show. An early Father's Day present. They're always special. In the midst of life struggles, God gives us joys and priceless treasures. You may wonder, Father's Day isn't in the Bible. Why do we celebrate Father's Day? Father's Day started back in 1910 when Sonora Dodd wanted to recognize her dad, who had lost his wife and left him raise five children. And she wanted to recognize him for all that he did. And it wasn't until 1972 that it was declared a national holiday or a national, signing a proclamation of the third Sunday in June for Father's Day. And although God, the Bible doesn't specify any special day for Father's Day, I think we do well in honoring our fathers. Scripture, throughout the Bible, godly leaders and men are honored for being godly men and godly leaders. It was already mentioned about Abraham being the father of many nations. And Jesus talked about his father. And many times he talked about his father and doing the will of his father and honoring his father. And Paul talks about in Corinthians that it's the first commandment with promise to honor our father and our mother. And so today, I pray that we will be able to honor our fathers in a good way for what they have given and for the godly men and women that they are. If we had time, we could go around the room and say, what is a godly father? But I'm not going to take the time. You probably all have an idea in your mind what a godly father looks like. So I have a limited amount of time, and as a coach at halftime, what would you say to your players? What would you say to your team? What should I say to the dads here this morning? In the midst of all the 1-2-3s of fathering and do this, do that, I asked the Lord, what do we need to get right as dads? And my mind was drawn to Deuteronomy. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. The title of the message is Fathers, an Instrument in the Hand of God. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord God commanded you to teach, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, and keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that they may have increase mightily, as the Lord God thy Father has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as signs upon their hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. Tim, are we going to have PowerPoint this morning or not? Okay, just checking. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And dads, when we get that right, well, I'll be talking to the dads this morning most of all. This is for everyone. But dads, when we get this verse right, I think a lot of what we have to do as dads falls in place, falls in line. And that we got to get this right in order to teach our children. We have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength if we're going to teach our children well. So let's go back to verse 2. It says, so that your children and their children after that may fear the Lord your God as long as they live, and keep them all his and keep all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that they may enjoy a long life. So I guess you see what my screensaver is. Okay, thank you, Tim. There's what, you want to dim the lights there. There's what I received on Thursday. Wade Houston. FYI, ladies and guys, Dallas parked a car, and about 5 minutes later, he was born. So it was pretty quick. So going back to the verse of our greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all that heart, soul, and mind. And in order so that we can teach our children the commands of Scripture. I like the way in verse 2 it says, thou mayest fear the Lord thy God. And I think a lot of fear of God is not among us as people anymore today. What it means to fear the Lord, and while it's a sermon for another time, just to highlight a few things about the fear of God. It's not a fear of that someone's going to come and beat you up or steal from you. It's not that kind of fear at all. It's a kind of thing where there's a tremendous love for a father or a mother, a tremendous amount of respect, and that you dearly want to please them, and not for fear of the punishment, because you don't want to disappoint them. It's a love you want to please them so much that you don't want to let them down, because in Jesus alone, in God alone, you find security in your love. And it's that kind of fear that we're talking about. It's not a fear out of some angry man going to come and punish you, but the fear of disappointing the God that you love so much. So we read, we need to impress the commandments of God to our children. When you sit at home, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you get up. The important thing in there, young people, is there is a time to go to bed, and there is a time to get up. Just in case you might need to know that in the next few days when you're together. And in this part of time in Israel's history, they were struggling with fathers teaching their children well and passing on the word of God and the ways of God. As we think about our job as dads and passing on the commands of God, I believe the father is an instrument in the hand of God. And the father's responsibility is to take the commands of God, the words of God, the Bible, and the teachings of God, and bring them into constant contact with the mind, with the heart, and with the conscience of our children. And I don't believe it's our job as fathers to present us as the final authority. We are the instrument in the hand of God to bring these commands in touch with our children. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says, we're supposed to do it when we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk in the way, as we've mentioned. I like this picture. There's a lot of thoughts that could come out of this picture. It's a father and a son walking the pathway of life. The father holding the Heavenly Father's hand, and the son holding the father's hand. A lot of analogies could be made. But it's our responsibility as dads to take the commands of God and to bring them in contact with our children. And this assumes one thing, dads, that you spend time with your children. In the midst of our busy lives, in the midst of trying to make a living, this assumes that we spend time with our children. And I love the times I spend with my children one-on-one, the dates we have, spend time hunting, going out to eat, doing different things together. I love that time of one-on-one time. But, dads, I want you to think about, don't discredit the time of family together. Like I said, I love the one-on-one time, but sometimes I think we exasperate ourselves into thinking that I've got so many hours in a week, I've got so many hours in a day, I have so many children. How am I going to reach around to give them all individual attention? Well, I think there's a time and a place for that. I think there's also a time and a place for families interacting together and learning together as family units, working together, having fun together, talking together, sharing together. So what's this look like when you're sitting down, rising up, walking down the road? Maybe you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off. And within you, you want to rise up and get angry. There's a good opportunity. You're in their way. You're doing something. And you can talk about what rises up within you. And you can talk about what God has given you to overcome that. Maybe you feel road rage. And it just makes you mad. Talk about it. Let your children know you are human, that you do have feelings that sometimes they have. It's good to identify with them. Talk to them about why you're taking a meal to the neighbor. or you're caring for your neighbor in the way you do. Talk to them about that. Talk around mealtime. It's a great time to interact together about what happened during the day. Talk about current events, what that means in our world, what that means about the future. Maybe you're at a game and someone goes off at the ump, and your child don't know what, can't understand that. It's an opportunity to teach. Or maybe you get angry and you go back and ask for forgiveness, and you teach the ways of forgiving to your children. Share the joys and sorrows of life. A lot of opportunities to share the good times, the joys, and the sorrows of life. Talk about marriage, dating, how to treat men, how to treat boys, how to treat women. Bring our children in constant contact with the ways of God, the Word of God, the commands of God, the heart of God. As dads, it's our responsibility. So they can build convictions, they can learn to know the heart of God and apply the commands of God in their life. In light of our responsibility to teach our children, I took the word father and I did an acrostic, and I made a point for each letter of father. That six ways you can impact your child for God. And this is not conclusive. I just went down over the word father and came up with five things that that help me and can help each of us. The first one is fight. And no, it's not that kind of fight. I think we're all too used to this kind of fight. I think we can all identify with fighting with our siblings, and maybe even fighting with adults in some unhealthy ways as well. But, Kenny, I loved your song of Lead Me. And the song talked about fighting. It's actually this message in a nutshell, in fighting. Dads, I don't believe there's ever a time in history, and every dad's probably said this for the last 100 years, but dads, we have to come alive, we have to be present if we're going to make a difference in our children's lives. Craig Groeschel, in his book Fight, and by the way, this fall, men, I love to take our men through that book. We're talking now about how we can do that. It's an excellent resource for men. Talking about winning the battle that matters most. And it reminds us that we are fighting a battle. We really are. We're fighting battles. Each one of us is fighting a battle, but is it the battle that matters most? Are we fighting the battle of wealth, of power, of prestige, of position? Or are we fighting battles that matter for eternity? Where do we find ourselves this morning in the battles we are fighting? God made each of us as men to have a heart of a warrior, to fight. Within us, there's just that desire, man, to fight. To fight what is pure and right. And if you have an itch inside of you to fight and to protect, that's okay. That's the way God made us, men. Just for example, guys, you identify with songs like Awesome God. Why? Because it talks about power and might. And the psalm that Merle read this morning talks about God's power and just conquering, and it makes us guys come alive. And that's great. And then we hear songs like There Is a Place of Quiet Rest Near to the Heart of God. And the women come alive and say, yeah, that's my God. And us guys go, yeah, that's right, but it doesn't quite hit us like it does the women. And that's okay. Does that mean we're right and they're wrong? No. That just means that's the way God made us. God put us inside of us as men to fight and to be protectors. Not that we're aggressive bullies on a playground, just means that within every man, God's placed the desire for that which is right and pure. And by the way, women, that's why we like big, powerful trucks and big, powerful tractors and like to lift weights, just in case you wondered. That's the way God made us. Maybe you don't like to think of yourself as a physical fight this morning. But God made you to fight spiritual battles, and he's given you many weapons, spiritual weapons. Now for a moment, I want you to consider that the strongest man is not the one who can lift the heaviest weight, but the strongest man is he who has the most faith. I want you to think about the battles that matter most to you. And I think the battles that matter most to us as men, I think they are pretty well, the first three should pretty well be the same. I believe the first battle for us as men is for our own lives, our own spiritual well-being. We cannot simply coast through life spiritually. We cannot coast through life. And so, being a little bit ahead of myself, the first thing we need to do as men is to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. That may seem like a crazy way to look at it, but man, we need to surrender to the most powerful force in the world, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and fight with his weapons, not our weapons. We fight with words and fists. He fights with the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And man, if we're going to make it to the end spiritually, we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight the enemy. We're going to have to fight him head on. We can't act like we're just in a little battle or a little... It's major if we're going to make it. Maybe you're struggling in the field of lust, in the battle of the mind, or some other battle you're facing. You got to face it head on. You got to fight. Your life depends on it. If we need help, we need to get help. If we need to confess, we need to confess. We just can't act like it's no big deal. The second thing I think we need to fight for is our marriages. Men, we need to fight for our marriages. And like that song said, we need to lead well. Lead our wives. They're just longing to be led. And maybe you feel like your marriage is hanging in the threads, hanging in the balance. And you don't see any reason to go on. Don't surrender. Don't give up. Fight on. Use love and patience and forgiveness. Lay down your own desires for your marriage. Are you willing to fight to keep your marriage alive and healthy? Men. The third most important thing is our children, men. We need to fight for our children. Fight against the enemy. And I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but our children are facing something we've never faced before. They're facing battles we never faced. Are we fighting with prayer? Maybe you see them making choices that you don't believe are the right direction. Are you willing to fight on your knees for them in prayer? We discipline them because we love them, because we're fighting for them. And children, young people, maybe your mom or dad is drawing a line and said, no, I'm not going to allow this in our home, or I'm not going to allow you to do this. And you think it's affecting your freedom, that dad's just being too strict. How about look at it as maybe dad's fighting for you. Maybe he's fighting for your life spiritually. And can we find security in dad fighting for us? Dads, we need to learn how to fight on our knees in prayer and with God's words, not with fists and our words. We need to draw a line in the sand and say, this is the line where I'm not going to cross. I'll go no further. And we're going to make the enemy Satan pay. Again, it's not fighting with our own strength, but it's fighting in the power of the Lord. The next word in the acrostic is affirmation. Another thing we as dads, is a powerful tool for us in being a godly dad. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. And not that the Bible needs confirmation or confirmed, but it's ironic that research shows that genuine affirmation is an essential ingredient in child development. They could have read the Bible and found that was true. So the definition of affirmation is to declare that something is true. To declare that something is true. So to affirm a child is to communicate things that we know to be true about them. And as you see them make choices that please God, affirm them. Let them know. Not that we're flattering or flattering them about something that is out of their control, that makes them look good. I believe we can affirm our children in two ways: unique affirmation and absolute affirmation. Unique affirmation is affirmation that's unique about the child, about the choices that they're making. Some examples, and it may sound weird to you to talk this way, but I believe it goes a long way in affirming the child and helping them to see themselves as God sees them. And here's some examples, and it'll depend on your age, on the age, how you express affirmation to the child. But here are a few examples. I've noticed how patient you've been with your sister lately. I can see the Spirit of God working in you. Or you could word it this way. I've noticed you being patient with your sister lately. What we are learning about the Bible and how we are learning in the Bible how to treat each other. So depending on the age of the child depends how you address and affirm them. Or maybe you could say, you used to get upset when you didn't win the game. Now you're so gracious when you lose. I can see God working in your heart. Remember how you used to lose your temper? You hardly do that anymore. You're growing up in the Lord. Again, it may sound foreign to us or weird to us, but in reality, we're affirming the work of God in their life. And I think it's an awesome growth tool for our young people. What about absolute affirmation or what the Bible says is true about them? Letting them know what God says about them, what the Bible says about our children. You are a friend of God, Ephesians 2:13. God chose you. You are important to him. Your sins have been paid for, Colossians 2. God has a plan for you, Jeremiah 29:11. There's many others that talk about who our children are in the Lord. They're treasured possessions, Deuteronomy 26:18. So parents, affirm your children. Dads, be the leader in affirming your children, who they are, how you see God working in their life, and what God says about them. Next is trustworthy. Proverbs 26:16 says, a ruler, or I put in parentheses, a father, who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor. But he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. Talking about being trustworthy and not unjust. Dad, the question, are you trustworthy this morning? How do we develop trust in our children? I believe we develop trust in our children by being like our Heavenly Father in that he's always the same. Our Heavenly Father is always the same. I don't care if you get up tomorrow morning. I don't care if you get up 10 years from now. Our God is always the same. So which dad gets up tomorrow morning? Which dad gets up Tuesday morning? Which dad gets up Saturday morning? Is the same dad today on Sunday as he is tomorrow? Dad, are you a trustworthy dad? Are you always the same? Being consistent in character. goes a long way in building trust in your children. The next one's open to hear, and I'll talk a little bit more about that one on my later next point. How about humility, being humble? Children will trust someone who they can identify with, who have gone through similar circumstances, and our Heavenly Father, who is tempted in every way like we are, dealt with circumstances similar to ours. Very humble. So, Dad, what are you a humble person? Can you identify with your children and what they're dealing with? The last one is fulfilling your promises. Every promise in the book is true. In Scripture, we learned that as a song growing up. Do you fulfill your promises? Are you as good as your word? Can you be trusted with confidence? Can your children trust you? That's huge, dads, to be trustworthy. I believe people today are looking for leaders and fathers to be trustworthy, who they can trust. They only need a second guess. You know, it's almost, with the amount of leaders who have fallen in recent past, it's almost being skeptical of those who haven't announced some kind of a scandal. But dads, we need to be trustworthy. We need to be leaders in this area of being trustworthy, being able to be trusted, just like our Heavenly Father. The next one is hear or listen. Jesus had time for children. The disciples wanted to push them away, but Jesus has time for children. And for this point, I want to talk about Naaman. You know the story of Naaman, and the Naaman had leprosy. He was a high, powerful man in the army. And a little girl had simple faith. And she said, well, if you just go to this man of God, he'd heal you. And I'm not going to go into the story, but you know the story, how he was healed. But to think this Naaman, this powerful man, I don't know who the Secretary of Defense is in our country, but to think of a man in that kind of position, and a little girl, pick a little girl, who says, yeah, there's a man of God, I know, if you go to him, he would heal you. And for some reason, this powerful man believed this little girl. You know, you thought he would have said, yeah, right. You don't know what all I've tried. I've tried this remedy, I've tried that remedy. He could have patted her on the head and said, yeah, you're just a little girl. But no, he listened. And how many times have we silenced the voice of God through a little child but not listening to a little child? How many times has a little girl said, well, why don't you just pray? Or ask Jesus, he can make it better. The simple faith of a child. And sometimes we tend to complicate things and say, no, it's not that easy. But are we listening to our children? Or do we laugh at their sincerity and say, you haven't been around long enough? Are we silencing a generation who has something to offer? Or we cause them to retreat into a shell that will take years to come out of before they'll ever speak again? Think how different the story of Naaman would have been if he would have passed off this little girl. He probably wouldn't have been healed. The impact of a little girl's voice. Not everything that comes out of their mouth is to be taken. I'm sure you're all aware of that. You're involved with children, you know what that's like. Not everything is profound. But yet, just think about maybe a mom and dad who's getting a divorce, and the little child's, why don't you just love each other? Oh, it's not that easy. Well, maybe it is. Listen to the children. One thing I think sometimes we overreact to children because they don't always package what they're saying in a neat little way that we like to hear it. Sometimes it's hard and loud. And what they're saying is really good, but they package it in a bad way. And we react to how they package what they're saying. Let's strip away all the way they bring it and listen to what they're saying. Maybe they have something for us to hear. James 1:19 says, "Oh, brethren, that we would be quick to listen and slow to speak." A little girl came to her daddy. Said, "Daddy, my turtle is dead. He was alive this morning." "Father, oh no, what a shock." Daughter, through her tears, "He was my friend." "Father, to lose a friend can hurt." Daughter, "I taught him to do tricks." "Father, you two had fun together." The daughter, "I fed him every day." The father, "You really cared for this turtle." You may say, "Duh, it's just a turtle." But this father was thinking 20 years down the road or 10 years down the road when this daughter had something more heavy to talk about. Where's she going to go? She's going to go to the same guy that had her turtle, who wanted to listen to her turtle story. Dad had time to listen to the turtle story. Who have time for me then? The next one is enter their world. Did you ever hear the word, the phrase, "You just don't understand, Dad. You just don't understand. You don't have a clue." I believe it's high time for us as men to enter our children's world. Because like I said earlier, they're living in a day and a culture that is foreign to us. They're living in an era that so much has changed in the last 5-10 years that, dads, we need to be involved. We need to enter their world. You know, the culture has changed. I grew up where most of the people I went to church with were farmers. Most of the kids grew up on farms. Today, it's not the case. We live in more in towns and even in cities, and our children are in contact with other people as far as unchristian people more than when I grew up. And so they're facing things that we've never faced as parents. And I think it's important we enter their world and be involved in their lives and their interests. Learn to know their friends, who their friends are. Care about their friends. And understand what they're facing. Talk to them about what they're facing. Help them to think through questions. Help them to think of how they're going to respond to questions. Spend a lot of time with them. You know, I had to think of Jesus. Jesus grew up, a carpenter, right? He called his disciples, and some of them, a lot of them, were fishermen. What did Jesus do? He did a lot of things in the boat. He did a lot of things fishing with them. You know, that spoke to me volumes. He spent time with them. He spent time doing things that interest them. He entered their world. So dads, enter your children's worlds, enter their lives. Be excited about what they're involved in. Help them in what they're involved in. The last one this morning is be a role model. Whether you know it or not, you are a role model. The question is not if you are a role model, but you are a role model. We are always modeling something, positive or negative. So the question this morning is, what am I modeling as a dad? You're always on stage. So it's important how you talk to your bride. It's important how you answer the phone after you've been angry. "Hello, how are you?" "Yeah, I'm good." Your kids see through that. How do you handle conflict? How do you handle joys and sorrows and disappointments? How do you talk to the salesman at the front door who's selling homeschool books. The reason I use that example, there's a man in our community who's gone around selling homeschool curriculum, and the police have issued a warning, do not let him into your house. And so there's some very hostile attitudes towards this man. He came to my door. We talked for a while. This is before I knew that he was on the police do not let into your home list. But it was just interesting to hear people talk about this man. How do you talk to people who come to your door? How do you talk to about authorities in your life, leaders in your life, your neighbors? How do you pray? When you see something you don't like in your children, maybe before you react and respond, look in the mirror and say, what am I modeling that is causing my child to act this way? Not always, but maybe there is a case where they're learning from dad. And when you see it in their lives, it looks pretty awful. Dads, we're always on the stage. We can't just tell it, we have to live it. And whether you're with your children or not, the testimony has a way of coming back to our children, whether you're away from them or not. Start modeling to your children early. They're watching and taking clues even though they can't talk. They're noticing body language and they're noticing tone of voice. We can't live in their bodies, we can't make choices for them, but we can model what it means to be a godly dad. Than what it means to be a Christian. We need to be intentional about setting an example for our children. Not only affect tomorrow, but generations to come. I want to bless your youth and your leaders who are involved with kids clubs and being a role model in so many lives. It's an awesome opportunity. I hope you don't look at it as just another night or another activity. I know lives can be busy, but take that seriously. It's a huge opportunity to influence someone for Jesus. When I was growing up in Oregon, there was an NBA player by the name of Gus Williams. Gus tied his shoes in the back instead of the front like normal. I thought it was cool, so I started tying my shoes in the back. I wanted to be like Gus. He wore number 10. I wore number 10. He wore one wristband. I wore one wristband. One day I was lying in bed and my stomach was killing me. I noticed that it wasn't my hero, Gus Williams, who came to my door, to my room to take care of me. It was my mother. Then I began to understand the difference between heroes and role models. I stopped looking athletic accomplishments to determine who I wanted to pattern my life after. Instead, I tried to emulate people with strong character who were doing things of lasting value. Who we look to for role models has a big impact on who we become. So I bless you as you have opportunity to give to children. Don't have a father. To invest in their lives. Close with one more story. 20 years ago, I was a big brother to a boy named Brian whose parents were divorced. Brian was caught in a time of his life when he was trying to figure out who his identity was as a young man and a son. My wife Dee and I, newlywed, had no children yet. We came to know Brian's family and his mother and asked if I could spend some time with him. Brian and I spent many Saturdays together. I will never forget the way he watched me and listened to me closely to everything I said. We never did anything extravagant, usually just hung out together. Then one experience helped me realize that it's on God's heart to provide a role model. A male role model for the fatherless. One day I sat down and wrote Brian a short paragraph letter. It wasn't anything profound, or heartwarming, just the note like, "Dear Brian, I'm looking forward to getting together again with you this Saturday. I enjoy our times together and just want you to know that you're a great guy to be around. You're a big brother, Ken." Nothing life-changing from my perspective, but the next time I visited Brian, I noticed my letter proudly displayed on his wall, surrounded by the posters of sports heroes. When I saw that, I realized the impact I could have on Brian's life. You never know the impact you're having on kids' lives. So fathers, how can we be a godly role model? Take you back to the verse I began with, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Fathers, fight for your own souls. Fight for your children. Fight for your wife. Affirm your children. Be a trustworthy dad. Hear and listen to your children, to what they're really saying, and to their world, and be a godly role model for them to follow. Father, thank you for this morning, a day we can gather together as your children and to learn from your word. Thank you for being our Father, the perfect Father. And Lord, we as dads don't always get it right. Lord, I pray for each dad here this morning that they continue to fight for that which has eternal value. God, so many things here in this life are only for this life. Lord, may we fight for what lasts forever. Lord, where there's dads who are struggling, I lift them up to you. I pray in the name of Jesus that they would come to you for their strength. And that they surrender all their human powerful resources to the one who can truly bring victory in their lives. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us and all you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.